So this is an exciting morning for us with baptism and the celebration of baptism and really the celebration of new life that we have in baptism. And as we celebrate this morning, there's a message for us that fits really well. And it goes along with just the series that we started last week where we looked at this idea that as people who are Christians, we're called to love well together. You know, that we're people who are meant as a church to demonstrate the love that we have, that we've received through Christ. So we said in that message, if you weren't here, that it's a two-step process, that first, for any of us, the most important thing is that we experience that love of Christ ourselves, that we know Him, that we experience that grace and that new life that He gives to us. And then secondly, after that, what we're called to be as a church is a group of people who are known by the love that we have for each other. So it's supposed to seem strange. You know, that people should look at our lives and they should be able to see people who love each other well, people who take care of each other, people who set that example. And that's supposed to give a message to the world around us. And so this morning, as we continue, we're going to look at what it means for us together to proclaim the name of Christ. What it means for us to share that message with the world around us. And really, when I thought about proclaiming the name of Christ, I thought it's really kind of one of the best examples I could think of is that it's a lot like show and tell in lots of ways. And we all know what that's like, you know, where you were in third grade and you, it was your chance for show and tell and you brought your goldfish or your favorite toy or, you know, any number of things that you might have brought to class and you told people about why that was important to you. And some of us love that moment. You know, some of us relished in the opportunity. We were really excited to show off something that we had. We were really excited to talk about something, you know, maybe even at a young age, we were really excited to talk about ourselves or something like that. And other people dread that experience of show and tell. You know, it means that you have to stand up in front of the class. It means that you have to talk. You're nervous about it. You don't know if what you have to share is good or bad or any of those things. But there's one process in that that's important for all of us. When we're in that stage of show and tell, you look through what you had, you found something that was important to you, maybe it was something about you, maybe it was just something that you really liked, and then you told other people about that. And when we think of proclaiming Christ to the world around us, it takes both showing people that Jesus is important and telling people that Jesus is important. And one of the places where we see this in Scripture, this idea of showing, and you see it in lots of places, is in 1 Peter chapter 2. And in 1 Peter, it's this book where it was written right around the time where persecution broke out in the church in Rome under Nero. And so it was this kind of horrible period for the church. And either right before that happens or in the midst of that happening, Peter writes a message to all Christians. And one of the big important themes of that message is this idea of living out their faith. And we're going to read one passage from 1 Peter. It's in chapter 2, verse 12. And it says, "Live such good lives among the pagans," among people who don't believe. So live such good lives that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. And so Peter tells people that they should be living well enough that people should be able to look at their lives and that it would point them to Jesus, that it would point them to God. And in a culture, you know, there are a million reasons why our world is different now than their world was. You know, we're talking 2,000 years ago, all kinds of different ways that we live, different things that we believe. But one thing that is consistent is that if someone disagrees with you, if someone is accusing you of doing wrong, lots of times you'd want to hide that thing that they're accusing you of. Lots of times you'd want to kind of not really show off. You'd want to keep that element of yourself pretty private because you wouldn't want people to know about that or hear about that or connect you with that. And so Peter says, even though people are accusing you of wrongdoing as the church, you need to be people that live so well that you rise above that. And that's a hard thing. He doesn't tell them, and this is the thing we're tempted to do lots of times. He doesn't tell them to hide it away. He doesn't tell them to be defensive. He doesn't tell them to reject the world around them. He tells them to live in the world and to set an example for the world. So part of it is showing the message of Christ by proclaiming him. And then the second piece, telling, comes to us in the very passage that Mark read for us from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at it again and read one verse before and one verse after. Starting in verse 16, it says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." So to stop there for a minute, Paul says in 1 Corinthians that if we are people who are living out our faith, we've been given this ministry. And he calls it the ministry of reconciliation. And he explains it by saying, we've received new life. Now we've been given this responsibility to tell others about that. He continues on in verse 19 and says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he, this is Jesus, has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so this passage is rich. You know, there's a lot of depth in that passage about the ministry of reconciliation, about who we are as believers, about what we're all about at the church. But there's just a few things that are really important in that. And one is this, that when Paul writes this message, he's writing to a church of people. He's writing to a group of people in the city of Corinth. He's not writing a message to pastors. He's not just writing a message to people who are gifted in telling people about their faith or gifted in evangelism. He's not just writing to people who are leaders in the church. He's not just writing to these really spiritual people, mature Christians who you think have it all together. Paul is writing to everyone who claims the name of Christ, whether they've known him for a day or they've known him for most of their lives. He's saying to all of them that when we become a new creation, when we find ourselves in Christ, we have been given this ministry of reconciliation, and that with that ministry, he says, comes the message of reconciliation, and he calls us ambassadors of Christ. It's a hard thing for lots of us to talk with people about our faith. It can be an easy thing for lots of us in this room to show our faith. You know, that's like, you know what's right and wrong, and you try to live according to that. You try to do things that help people. You know, it can be kind of almost an easier thing sometimes to say, I'm going to just worry about myself and do everything that I can. But it can be hard or intimidating sometimes to tell people about your faith. But when we do that, it's a really important thing for us to remember that we don't just do that in our own strength. You know, in this passage, when Paul calls us ambassadors, what he means is that when we tell people about our faith, we do it in the power and the authority of Jesus. We do it in the power and the authority of the King. That when we share that message of love and new life with others, we don't do it on our own. You know, it can feel intimidating. It can feel a little bit scary. It can be hard to do. But we don't. We don't do it on our own. We do it through the strength that he gives us and the ability that he gives us. And so this morning, as we think about our faith, as we think about what it means to proclaim, I'd ask you to think about those two areas. How are you at showing your faith through what you do? And how are you at talking about your faith to people through what you tell them? You know, because for lots of us, like I said, we kind of can struggle with one end or the other of that. Lots of people are really uncomfortable to talk about their faith, but they're all right with trying their best to live that out. And other people, they're fine telling everyone about their faith and what they need to do, but maybe we struggle a little bit with really living that out and what that looks like for us day to day. So this morning, I'd ask you to think about your life and really focus in on one area where you say, I can show the new life I have in Christ this way, or I can tell people in this way. And take that and work with that. And this morning, the reason why we're here is to celebrate one of the most important ways that people have been showing and telling about their faith since the very beginning of the church. The idea of baptism is all about Jesus. When we read in Romans, in chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, it says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." So in baptism, what we see when someone is lowered into the water and raised up, in Romans, Paul compares it to this idea of Jesus coming to earth, living, dying on our behalf for our sins, and raising from the dead. And the promise is that when we've experienced new life, when we've placed our faith into Christ, and when we, you know, express that faith, that in the same way that we connect with Christ and we need Christ and his sacrifice for our sins, that we're raised to new life with him as well. And so this is a celebration for us, like I said, of new life and of what that means. And this morning we have five people who are going to be baptized. So let's pray this morning. God, we thank you for the work that you've done for us. We thank you for the way that you have made us a new creation. We thank you for these stories. We thank you for the way that you have helped some of us who have been angry or anxious. Help some of us who have been unsure. Help some of us who didn't know you come to know you. God, we pray that you would continue to bless these five people who are standing up to be baptized today. And we just ask that this would be the beginning of their journey in showing and telling others about you. And we ask this in your name. Amen.